minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back to the show, Hooligans. The whole show powered by PDC Energy. Tilted Barrel. Love this place. I mean, it was a discovery. And not that it's off the beaten path, but I just hadn't been to that part of Loveland that often, which is absolutely a crime because it's lovely. But one of my friends that told me about Tilted Barrel about a year ago started going there, trying the wings. Great. I mean, they have so many selections. And the TVs, if you are a sports guy, and odds are you are a sports guy, if you are listening to this show, then you've got to try Tilted Barrel because they got the TVs all over the place. They got the longest happy hour in the world, too, by the way. Happy hour from 2 to 6. That's like less than an hour. 2 to 6 features half-price appetizers and $5 well, wine, or draft drinks. That's the Tilted Barrel. Tell them we sent you from the whole show. Tell Tim I said hello. Love that staff. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. Well, NFL has their rankings put out, and, you know, with different teams and players and everything. The Broncos are right around the 24th spot. Now, Pro Football Focus, I think, had the Broncos at 24 and the Giants at... the Giants were at 23. So they actually had the Giants listed better than the Broncos. Listen, I do think that division, that the Giants division, that NFC, what is it, East, they're going to be much better. Like, I do think that they're going to be a more talented group. The pressure's going to, again, be on Daniel Jones. I don't know about the defense, but I feel like they went after it. Their general manager, Mr. Gettleman, went after some big names. They spent a lot of money. So it is you're starting to get the feel like, hey, if the Giants don't make this thing start to work this year, who knows what's going to happen? And again, waiting to see if Daniel Jones turns out to be the real deal. But when you look at the power rankings going into week one, you know, the Broncos are down the list. You've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Chiefs at 1-2, according to NFL.com. Then the Bills, the Packers, the Ravens in the top five. Which, yeah, I'll definitely go there. I mean, I don't really have any issues there. You got the Rams at 6. Obviously, doing what they did in the offseason, bringing in Matt Stafford. That's certainly helping their case. That's going to make them much better right off the bat. So... watch out for the Rams on the NFC side. Seattle will be good. Keep scrolling, keep scrolling, keep scrolling. And the Broncos, yeah, they're not getting any love at this point. I was wrong. They're sitting at number 22. So Pro Football Focus, I believe, they had the Broncos at 24 and the Giants at 23. This one has the Giants at 24 and the Broncos at 22. So this is NFL.com's rankers. They're typically going to be close, you know, maybe a few items off here and there, but for the most part, they're all going to line up. Your top five is going to be pretty consistent. Your top 10 is going to be pretty consistent. Outside of 15, outside of 20, it's going to be consistent. Listen, both teams, Giants, Broncos, they're viewing this game as this is it. This is when we get things rolling. We get things back on track. The Giants are bringing back Barkley, who's coming off of that ACL tear, so they're certainly worried about him. So, I mean, will he get a lot? I don't even know. But Devontae Booker, former Bronco, lit the Broncos up last time we saw him. And so much so that I picked him up in fantasy in one of my other leagues, not my whole show league. But, I mean, it was slim pickings. I was in one of those leagues that had like 14 people in one league. Ugh. Ugh. That's why we split ours up with 10. Outside of 10, man, it gets a little scarce if you're picking 11, 12, 13, 14. And I was like 13. So that was rough, but I did get Devontae Booker because he's going to get a workload, I think, even throughout the course of the season, but certainly coming up Sunday. So, I mean, that was a big sign for them. So the Giants made some moves. I don't have a lot of faith in them right now, but they threw some money, especially at that offensive side of the ball. Broncos got a lot to prove, man. Nobody believes in this program, this organization, and it always goes back to the quarterback position. The fact that you had Teddy Bridgewater in a quarterback competition at all just points to how rough this quarterback situation is. I think they can win. I've said it, and I know our naysayers just love it, but I think this team is going to go the way of Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams, and the defense. I really believe that you're going to see this team kind of fit what a Tennessee Titans-type team does. Not as good. I think Ryan Tannehill has proved a lot of doubters, including me. As we all know, the official rule of the whole show is I can never bet against the Tennessee Titans because of a stupid on-air pick that I made last year. I can never bet against them. I've been betting against the Titans far too long anyway. It's time for me to, you know, I love Derrick Henry, but I wasn't sold on Ryan Tannehill. But look at the Titans. Look at how good they've done, really, with an average quarterback. Can that be the Broncos? Can the Broncos be a team where you're saying, all right, maybe it's Teddy, maybe it's Drew, but, you know, at any given point, we think that this team could put together, you know, get a 100-yard rusher and maybe another guy that's going to throw in 50 or so, and this team could be looking at that average of 146 to 166 yards per game. So, and can they be that? I mean, the Titans, that's what they're known for. Their defense wasn't as great as we thought it was going to be last year with Tennessee. Kind of kept, a lot of people thought that they were going to make a Super Bowl run if that defense could hold up, but they just couldn't do it. They made some big signings as well, but I'm curious to see if the Broncos can really cap, and that's my prediction. Is that Teddy's not going to tear it up. I predict that the Broncos get into the playoffs and Teddy is an average quarterback and you're going to have this like bittersweet moment, Colfax. You're going to have this moment where you made it to the playoffs. Great. We broke the drought. We broke the streak of not making it into the postseason. But we also still are very confused about our quarterback's situation. Then that begs the question, all right, does it matter then? Do you stay with Teddy and just keep going, or do you try to get better? Do you open up a competition again with Drew Lock and go, all right, now the only thing we're missing is a playmaker? Because I will say this, as much as I want a team like the Titans, because that's, you know me, I love a good rushing attack. Derrick Henry is a football god right now. As much as I want to see those kind of offenses win, and then you win with your defense, it's just not very often that that's going to happen. It's not often that Derrick Henry, a running back, is going to be your offensive team leader, and then your defense is solid. That's how you're winning Super Bowls. Again, the Broncos did that in 2015, but they still had the greatest mind in all of football. We could talk about Peyton playing on two flat tires in that game, but his mind was still sharper than anybody else on that field. He was still able to make the reads, make the audibles at the line of scrimmage. That was a powerful tool that, who knows, maybe without it, they don't win the Super Bowl. The defense was the biggest part, for sure, but it all kind of clicked. So that's where I look at this and I say, man, Denver's going to get back on track this year, but what track is that? The track to being, oh, we're a team that flirts with 10 wins every year, gets in as a wild card, but we're never going to be able to go up against the Mahomes's, the Herberts, the Carrs, I guess. I mean, Derek Carr's good. He's like a good quarterback that's average at the same time. It's weird, but if Derek Carr's on this team, suddenly you're going, man, maybe they could compete. We'll see. But that's going to be just the tough spot. So I'm very optimistic about this season. You guys know that, but I don't know where it's going to lead us. I don't know where it's going to lead Denver down the road. Power to Play sports poll question of the day, a fun one. If UNC and CSU were playing this weekend, who would win in that game after based off of what we saw from both teams over the weekend? Go answer that poll question. It's available at theholeshow.com. 53% of the whole, it's a tight one. 53% of the Hooligans say Colorado State. 46 saying the University of Northern Colorado. Again, that does not bode well for the CSU Rams. If you want to text the program, the First Advantage text line is 970-478-1301, 970-478-1301. Before we break, let me tell you about a great sponsor of ours, Mosher Funeral and Cremation Service. They're the only family-owned and operated funeral home in the Greeley-Evans area. Let the Mosher family help you through such a tough, tough time. Give Scott Robin or a member of their great staff a call today. 970-330-6824, or visit their website, Mosher, M-O-S-E-R, funeralservice.com. Broncos.com. All right, when we come back, does Drew Locke have a future with the Broncos? Will he be the forgotten man? Will Teddy do enough, even in week one, to put Drew Locke out of our minds and perhaps out of my mind for good? We'll talk about it next.
Is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. For the latest on the Broncos, the Nuggets, and the Rockies, listen to The Hull Show, weekdays at noon on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
You did a wrestling connection there with our outro song and our intro song, and I doubt any of the hooligans would have any idea that connection. There's no way they're making that connection with a band called Fozzy, and then, of course, that great, wonderful intro song by the man of mystical legend, Stone Cold Steve Austin. What a great record. So hard to beat him. I mean, just to pull the script out and write something different, and that's how you beat him. But hey, we finally got on cue. Look at that text on cue.
Pulling it up here. Oh,
it's Coach Mustari, but we've given him a wrestling kind of name because of his last name. It kind of sounds like this. Mysterio. Is that like Mysterio?
Yeah,
that's a good name.
That's a good wrestling name.
That's a great wrestling name. We'll see what he thinks. I mean, but that's the nickname machine has spoken, and that's usually how it works. But he's got a nickname now.
Locked in,
ready to go. That's part of the rules of the whole show. If you're a hooligan, if you text in a couple of times, you become worthy of a nickname. If you don't beat us to the punch, if you can actually get your nickname in before, that's fine. All right. He says, I can get with that. Cool. Good deal. Dixon says, da, 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 where is it? Something about LA, Vaughn? No. You said they're going to make the playoffs. So if it's Buffalo, Baltimore, Tennessee, Kansas City that win the division, that leaves three more spots. And you still got New England, Miami, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Chargers, and maybe Indy. New England? You're already all in on the Mac Jones stuff? Miami? Nah. Indy? Mm-mm. Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and Denver. There you go. Boom. Bingo, bango, bongo. Dixon, I've got it for you, my friend. Make that happen. I think so. I think that they're better than New England. Are they better than New England right now? I mean, they got a rookie quarterback. You only know what you know, and you don't know what you don't know, right? Philosophy. Mac Jones could be great. He could be a rookie. He could play a lot like a rookie this year. Defensively, New England could be pretty good. Miami, I mean, I'm not going that far in just yet on Miami. And Pittsburgh's interesting. I mean, they started the season 11-0, but then they kind of fizzled. Limped into the playoffs. Miami, they were 10-6 last year. New England was 7-9. So is Mac Jones get you better than that? I've got Denver winning. 11, 10-11. Halfway through, 6-12. That's my range. I'm looking at here. Pittsburgh was 12-4, but again, they started 11-0, so it was a rough finish for them. You had Cleveland in, and I expect Cleveland to be a playoff team. I expect all those teams you mentioned, except for Miami and New England. Is Mac Jones going to give the Patriots three more wins to the point where they can get to 10? They can get to 11. Maybe they'll be right there in the bubble. So I'm saying the Broncos over Miami. I'm saying the Broncos over the Patriots. And then you're right there with Pittsburgh and Cleveland. Are the Chargers going to be improved? I think they will, but I still like the Broncos to finish second in this division. But, just looking around, Tennessee, the Colts, the Colts are interesting, but that was Phillip Rivers last year. And so you're looking at the situation with Wentz and, his injury and the COVID stuff. I mean, those are all real things that you're looking at this point in time. So, I don't know how confident I am in the Colts. So, boy, it's going to be interesting. Are they better than the Chargers? Love how the 10 has entered the discussion. I mean, you're looking at what is it going to take to get into the playoffs? 10 to 11, right? Now, it's no longer 9 to 10. It's 10 to 11. So if I think the Broncos are in 10 to 11, and if you want me to just say 11, I'll say 11. So is that what you want? You want me to just say 10 and a half? I'll say 11. New England winning 11? The Colts winning 11? They did last year. But that's me. Okay, so the Colts start out the gates. Seattle, Los Angeles, Tennessee. First three games. They're on the road to Tennessee. The first two are home. But the Colts could very much start out the gates, maybe even 0-3. You could conceive that. Then they're at Miami and at Baltimore. That's a hell of a schedule to start your season. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a rough go for the Colts. Miami starts their season off against the Patriots. They'll go in division. Then they got the Bills. Then they're at the Raiders. They got the Bucks down the road. They got the Bills down the road, of course. Ravens, Titans. Miami's a little easier schedule than to start out the gates than what we're looking at with the Colts. And then for the Pats, we know they have some interesting games coming up. Don't they play Tampa Bay in week four? So they play the Dolphins. They're at the Jets, then home against the Saints. It's not Drew Brees Saints anymore, so the Saints certainly have a different look about them. Patriots starting first three games, they could do pretty well. We'll see. I mean, again, how good is Mac Jones? That's a big question mark. That proved to be the difference with the Pats last year. With no Tom Brady, they won seven games. And Tom Brady went to Tampa Bay and won a Super Bowl. They play Tampa Bay week four. They're not winning that. Then they're at the... Listen, I'll tell you what, Dixon, you got this. Patriots do have a pretty easy schedule. So, you got the Bucks, you got the Cowboys, you got the Browns, you got the Titans, you got the Bills. It does get a little bit... Obviously, they play the Bills twice. So, the Bills will be tough. Titans in that mix. Browns in that mix. There's four tough ones. Tampa Bay, five. Then they do play Dallas, which with Dak Prescott, you might make the case. So there's six tough opponents there that are likely going to be playoff teams. And then you're basically assuming that they beat all of the teams that maybe they're better than. I don't know. Are they better than the Saints? I just feel really comfortable with the way these schedules line up. Even with the Patriots having an easier part, they play the Bucs and the Cowboys 2 out of 3 weeks there starting in October. They might have the easier September. This all goes back to why the Broncos have to be 3-0. At the very least, 2-1 to start this season out. Because there's a lot of team. Listen, the Pats could be right there. It's hard to disagree. They are well coached. You're right. Texter here. Pats defense is one of the best in the league. Pats defense could be a top five defense. And they're well coached. Yeah, we have yet to see. I mean, we've seen two seasons with Belichick without Tommy Bones. And that was one year they went 11-5 and missed the playoffs. And then, of course, last year, they just weren't very good. And this was a quarterback battle, mind you. I mean, Mac Jones was knee deep in this quarterback battle with Cam Newton. And then suddenly, Mac Jones wins, and Cam Newton, you're out of here. And was it a COVID thing? They're claiming no, but it was still strange that it'd be like the Broncos saying, oh, it's Drew Lock, Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Lock, Teddy. No, Drew Lock's going to win. Teddy, you're out of here. Wait, who's the backup then? I mean, if it was that close, wouldn't it be nice to have So that was a week. So as far as well coached, I thought that was an interesting decision. 29 minutes after the hour, let's shoot us a text on our First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. Just give an over under. Over 10. Actually, the DraftKings bet is over 8.5. Take it. Take it and run. That was what DraftKings, that was their big one, was over. Are the Broncos going to win? Or over 8.5, over under. And I'm going over on that all day long. You can do another bet of over 10. And listen, I'm 10 or over. You could go 10 or over. I think I'm taking that. Start out the gates 3-0. 7 more, if my math serves me right. 30 minutes after the hour, let's talk Mountain West football with Jesse Kurtz of the Mountain West Network coming up next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Prep sports and the UNC Bears are on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Kind of a fitting rejoin there. Just let this man introduce himself. Jesse Kurtz is on the line with us, lead anchor for the Mountain West Network, talking all things Mountain West football side of things. Jesse, always appreciate your time, my friend.
Yeah, let me see if I can get my voice to sound like it did back on that day. That was good stuff.
That was solid, man. That was some solid work there, my friend. That was fantastic.
We try. One time a year.
Yeah, some people ask me, they're like, do they just record that every day? Do they just call in and say that every single now? They don't really ask that, but it would be funny if they did. Interesting weekend as we're really getting into the thick of it. We got all the college football teams were in action last week, and a lot to bust into, Jesse, just looking at some of the scores around the area. Want to pick your brain first and foremost, though. South Dakota State beaten up on Colorado State 42-23. I'll tell you, it has us here around Northern Colorado just kind of pressing that panic button, kind of freaking out a little bit.
No, I get it. I mean, for sure, you look at that and you say, how does that happen when a team from an FCS level comes in and pushes an FBS team around? But anyone who's been around college football understands the level of football that South Dakota State plays. I mean, it is certainly on an FBS level. It's a lot like North Dakota State. And those teams that come out of the Missouri Valley, they get some transfers in from D1s. They get those kids that have a chip on their shoulder. And then a combination of that and those big farm boys that just are physical. So, I mean, are there a lot of people that are shocked that South Dakota State went in there and won? Maybe, but there are a lot that are not. And that scheduling, that's a tricky proposition, right? And, South Dakota State, after what they did there, they're going to have a hard time scheduling some FBS opponents because I'll guarantee you that there are coaches around this country that said, I will not touch that game for that reason, because South Dakota State plays on a very elite level at the FCS level, and those teams at that level can go in and win those games because it's a heck of a motivating factor for those guys, whether it be they left FBS programs, weren't recruited by FBS programs, they see it, that is their chance to maybe make a splash as far as an NFL scout looking at them, make themselves attractive to the NFL. So, is it shocking? Maybe not. Is it concerning? Perhaps, but I guess you're only as good as your next game. So we'll love to see how Colorado State bounces back this weekend and in a big game, obviously, against an SEC opponent.
I know it's weird, right? It's Vanderbilt, and they've been struggling. They, of course, they struggled big time last week. But it's weird to say, hey, all your hopes of getting this thing back on track early rest in playing an SEC school. Granted, it's Vanderbilt, but it's a weird statement to make.
It's funny that you say, well, we get some reprieve now because we're playing the SEC and not the Missouri Valley, right?
Right.
But I'll tell you what, I don't think after what we saw last weekend, I wouldn't be shocked if South Dakota State matched up with Vanderbilt and gave them a run and beat the Commodores. I mean, I don't think that a lot of people would be shocked by that because of the level that South Dakota State has played, and at least the level recently that Vanderbilt's played. So, what a way to get back on track in a nationally televised game against an SEC opponent. I hope, as a graduate of that great institution in Fort Collins, I hope that the crowd is as electric as it was. Because by all accounts of friends that were there and what I saw on TV, that's what it needs to be like every single Saturday, win or loss. I mean, if you can get that place rocking like it was early, and the firsthand accounts that I got from friends and family that were there, that will only help get this program over the hump that they just haven't been able to get here as of, you know, recently, in the last 5-6 years. That can be the driving force. It absolutely can.
Yeah, and that's what was another tough pill to swallow, too, is not just the loss and the way you lost, but the fact that you had a huge turnout and there's an opportunity to grab these fans. You know, a lot of these students that were out there, they'd never been to Canvas Stadium. A lot of the,
sure,
you know, with no fans last year. So, but we'll see. It's going to be an 8 o'clock game. I'm actually heading out as a fan. I'm not messing with that press box business this weekend. I'm going as a fan. My dad's coming up. We're excited. He's never been to the stadium, so we'll at least be loud. I know that. That'll be fun.
Well, it's a great venue. It's a great, proud program, and I know that they got to be close. It's been too long that Colorado State hasn't been, you know, one of the elite teams in the West. There was a time where they were the team that nobody wanted to play, and no one was shocked if they went to Michigan State and won, went to Arizona and won. They can get there, but it takes the whole package. It takes the students, it takes fans like you and your dad going, and it takes buy-in from players and coaches. And if you don't have all of those parts rowing in the same direction, it can be hard. So if everyone can pull in that same direction, I know this program can get back to that point. But there's no question that took a little bit of a punch on the chin last Saturday.
We're talking to Jesse Kurtz, lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. There were three really big games in the conference that I was very excited about. Fresno State, Oregon, San Jose, USC, and, of course, Nevada and Cal. Let's look at, I mean, my goodness, Fresno State, Oregon. I mean, we got to start. We're starting to talk. I know they end up losing that game 31-24, but the Ducks, that's a top-ranked team there. So if you're a Bulldogs fan, and if you're a fan of the Mountain West, I mean, this was a pretty interesting game.
Yeah, it was. And I think we talked last week that I thought on the West side that there were four teams that if you told me they won the division, wouldn't shock me. And Fresno State was in that conversation because of Jake Haener. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a late turnover late in that game cost Fresno State a chance to win that game. You know, they're winning in the fourth quarter, 24-21. You say, geez, they're in Eugene. One of the toughest places to play in America, and a top 10 team, a team that thinks that they'll be in the mix for a playoff spot, for them to go in there and kind of flex their muscles a la the old Florida State or the old Fresno State teams. You know, Jake Haener throws for almost 300 yards, and they do this with Ronnie Rivers having an average game by his account. So, you know, Fresno State's going to be there right at the end. Kalen DeBoer is a terrific offensive coach. He's a terrific motivator. And they've got players. I mean, Jake Haener and Jordan Mims and Ronnie Rivers and Jalen Cropper, they've got players. So they're going to be in it. And it didn't shock me that they, you know, at least were in it. Did it shock me they had a lead in the fourth quarter? Absolutely. But that's a very good football team, and they'll be in it at the end.
Yeah, it'll be fun to follow along and watch them. The other one was interesting. Okay, USC beat San Jose State 30-7. It's one of those strange games, though. San Jose State they were kind of in this thing for the most part. USC kind of blows this one open late. But tell us your thoughts there, because I know both of us, we were talking pretty highly about San Jose State, Nick Starkel. But USC gets theirs at the end of this one.
Yeah, again, you're going into one of the toughest places to play in America, a historic venue against a team that has its pick of recruits, certainly in the West, but across America too. And you've got San Jose State, a program that's still on the upswing. They're down just 6 points in the third quarter, and you like where you sit. Anytime when you go in and you're a heavy underdog into a place like that, and you've got it a one-score game, maybe late in the third, into the fourth, you like where you sit. But obviously, USC kind of runs away with it. Nick Starkel, who's a gunslinger, I mean, you're going to love a lot of things he does, and you'll kind of scratch your head sometimes, but that's what makes him great. He's kind of got that Brett Favre, just go after it mentality. Had a pick six on him again. Greg Johnson took it the other way that kind of put that game on ice. But a lot of things to build on if you're Brent Brennan and company, that you had SC on the ropes. You had them, you know, kind of worried a little bit about where they sat in that third quarter. You won't face another team as tough, or that venue as tough, that combination, the rest of the year. So I think there's a lot to be liking when you're a San Jose State fan and what they did in L.A.
Yeah, well, and moving on to this one. This was a fun one. I mean, Nevada, California, start off 14-0. Nevada bounces back, but Carson Strong, what a gritty performance in that one. That game was a blast to watch.
Well, Carson Strong is an elite quarterback, and I think that by the end of his career at Nevada, if we're not talking about him as one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL draft, I'll be surprised. You know, he routinely throws for 300 yards. I believe it's five straight games that he's done that. Threw for 312, couple of touchdowns, never let his team panic. And the thing about Carson Strong that I think a lot of NFL scouts that I've talked to like, he still is fairly green when it comes to you know, playing a lot of football. Didn't play his entire senior year in high school because of an injury. So he goes into Nevada. Nobody recruited him except for really Nevada, his only scholarship offer. Wins a scout team award his freshman year. Redshirt freshman year, earns a starting job, plays most of the season. Then last year is the offensive player of the year in the Mountain West, and he started right on that trajectory again. So, you know, they see this kid who's still green, who's still learning, whose upside it is really high. I mean, he is on a fast track, and he's just finished his sophomore season, so he could have a couple more years of college football, but he just puts in the time. And Jay Norvell told me that a lot of that time happens at home. He lives with Romeo Dubs, one of the best wide receivers in the country, and they work tirelessly together on route running, on ball placement, on breaking down film, just talking football. So he's kind of a football nerd. And when you're a quarterback, you love a guy like that. And he's only going to get better, which is why I think he will be, you know, the next great quarterback that comes out of the Mountain West, a la Josh Allen and, you know, Derek Carr. So those guys have paved the way for a guy like Carson Strong.
Jesse, last one for you. Just looking around, I mean, again, I know it's the first weekend for most teams. Some have a couple of games under their belt, but looking at hot seats, I know this is a tricky territory, but you wonder, I mean, are you already kind of getting that alert, the Mountain West Conference hot seat after just one full week of football? Because I know the talk at CSU, it's a scary time right now, and Adazio has only coached five games for this team.
Yeah, and I think that's the key stat right there is five, right? I mean, the sample is so small right now to really hit any panic button. And look, any coach will tell you if you talk to them about it, you're worried for your job, or you know, you talk to an administrator, is this person coaching for their job? They're all coaching for their job every single week. This is a week-to-week win or you're in trouble business, and they all understand that and they thrive in that. Again, being one game into the season, they can still be 11-1, and then everyone is celebrating, you know, that particular coach's success, and they forget about that. But, you know, trends obviously start dictating decisions, but the sample size is so small right now, given last year a shortened season, this year only one or in some cases two games. I don't know that there's any hot seats, but believe me, every coach feels the pressure to win, and that never goes away. And most of them love that because it drives them to be, you know, the achiever that they've been in their entire career that have got them to this point to have an elite job in the Mountain West.
Yeah, well, you know, like you said, it's a small sample size, and that's why we got plenty of games in front of us to figure out what the conference is going to look like, what these coaches are going to look like. Jesse, always appreciate you, my friend, and glad we got this hooked up. I love your insight into the Mountain West Conference.
We're just getting started, baby.
Just getting started. I love it, my friend. All right, we'll talk to you soon. That's Jesse Kurtz, lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. 48 minutes after the hour, up against a break here. We'll take a short break and come back, get to what's on the tube tonight. And there might be a couple of things that we can glance at. We know tomorrow is going to be the big one, though. All right, we'll be right back.
Northern Colorado's voice and the leader in prep sports is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Everything you need to know about Northern Colorado is on NOCO now. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Highland Park Lanes, they got you ready to roll, man. If you're a bowler, if you're not a bowler, you just do it for fun. You just like being out there. It's one of Colfax's famous sayings. Parties, events, you name it. Highland Park Lanes, that's the place to go, man. I love bowling. I love getting out and bowling, grabbing a beer, get some food there. I mean, they have delicious food. You can't always say that about a bowling alley. The food is amazing, but I could see myself just chilling out at Highland Park Lanes. That's they're in West Greeley. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show. Had a texter earlier say, hey, if CSU beats Vanderbilt and beats them convincingly, will people give them credit? Will you give them credit, or are you just going to say, no, Vandy's a bottom dweller? You give them credit. You because you absolutely have to win. You know, I mean, I had this as a win on their schedule, but they there's no must win. There's no half. I mean, just got to get the job done. Otherwise, get ready, because you're going to be hurting badly next week. But yeah, I'll give them credit. A win's a win. You desperately need them. You need to start accumulating wins. It doesn't matter how they come. Accumulating wins, getting some confidence around your program, and that's what it's going to take. So yeah, I'll give them credit. No question about it. A win is a win, especially when they're hard to come by, like we're seeing at this stage for the Colorado State Rams. The Rockies and the Giants are going at it now. How about that? The Rockies have just, I mean, it's so hard to talk about the Rockies on September 8th when they're, 13 games under 500? The season was not as bad as everybody thought. They're going to hit their 65. They're 63 and 76 right now. They're going to hit that, but they're going on today and tomorrow night. We're getting into football. The very first regular season game coming up between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the defending Super Bowl champions, versus the Cowboys, that they're getting their guy back. Dak Prescott was on pace to break some nasty records last year, but obviously the injury left him out for the season. So this, we could have fireworks tomorrow night. I'm excited. We're here for it. We got the Thursday night special coming up tomorrow night. Can't wait. Pick Central's coming up next. The Good Afternoon Guy, and then the Block Party. Good night, Northern Colorado.